Several years ago, when I was working at the Watertown Church as a youth leader, there was a time I was working with the junior high youth group, and this was a period where there was quite a bit of drama going on, especially amongst the girls. Jolie doesn't know anything about junior high drama with girls, right? She laughed when I said that. Well, one Wednesday night, I noticed that one of the girls in particular just seemed to be very down and withdrawn. She wasn't talking, or she wasn't even really looking at her best friend, the girl who normally those two were just attached at the hip. And so as youth group wrapped up for the night, I kind of pulled her aside to see what was going on. I wanted her to know that I had noticed that she was in pain and that I was concerned about her. And as soon as we started talking, she absolutely just broke down in tears. She began to tell me the story. This girl who I said she was attached at the hip with, well, those two had declared to one another that they were best friends forever. They even sometimes called one another their sister. They had said they would always be best friends. But in the last week or two before then, her best friend had made the cheerleading squad, and she didn't. And now her best friend had a whole new circle of friends. And she was so excited to be on the cheerleading squad that she had kind of forgotten this particular girl. When they did happen to see each other or run into each other at school, in the lunchroom, and things like that, the cheerleaders began making fun of this girl. And her best friend joined in. This girl was devastated. Her friend, who had meant as much to her as anybody in the world, had seemingly turned her back. She felt betrayed, abandoned, and alone. And yes, we could chalk this all up to teenage drama, to teenagers and hormones, or being young and not very good at relationships. But you know, similar things happen all throughout our lives. Marriages begin to break down, and before we know it, people who once vowed to love one another for life are saying horrible things. Sometimes it's an employee leaves a company that they have worked at, and in their new job, they do everything they can to take down the old company. Betrayal is a disease of our human condition. And it can occur in a million different ways, but no matter what causes it, betrayal can be hurtful, especially when that betrayal comes from someone that we thought we could trust or someone that we love. You know, our scripture reading today sets up what I think is probably the lowest of lows in Peter's life. He has been with Jesus now for 3 years. He has witnessed countless miracles. He himself has walked on water when Christ bid him come in the midst of the storm. He has seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And he has declared that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. But now they are in Jerusalem, where Jesus has told them several times that he is going to be arrested, killed, and will rise again. This night they celebrated a Passover meal together, even though it was probably a pretty unusual night. Jesus was acting a little weird. He had washed their feet like a slave. And when he shared the bread and the wine, he did so with an admonition to them to always remember. And then after the meal is over, they're heading out of town late in the evening so that Jesus can pray in the garden. And along the way, we have the conversation that we read. Jesus tells the 11, just 11, because Judas has already left them, that all of them will desert him that very night. And as we have seen over these past few weeks, Peter is the one to speak up very quickly, and he says, you know, Jesus, the rest of these guys may turn their backs and leave you, but I never will. You're my BFF, Jesus. But then Jesus tells him, before the rooster announces the dawn, Peter, you are going to deny that you even know me. Not once, not twice, but three separate times. And of course, Peter, in all of his exuberance, says, even if I have to die alongside of you, Jesus, I will not deny you. Well, we know how this story ends, right? We know how this evening plays out for Peter and for Jesus. They get to the garden, Jesus prays, and the disciples just keep falling asleep. And the third time Jesus has to wake them up is when the mob arrives with Judas. The fateful kiss happens that seals Jesus' fate, and Jesus is arrested. Peter tries to stay true to his word, and he draws a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the men in the crowd. But Jesus will have none of it. He chastises Peter and tells him to put the sword away. Those who live by the sword die by the sword, Peter. Keep that up, and we'll all die tonight. He heals the man's ear and is taken away. And the 11, the disciples, flee in fear. And that night, going through the city of Jerusalem, three times by three different people, Peter is asked, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? Haven't I seen you with that Jesus guy? And three times, out of fear, out of trying to avoid arrest and death himself, Peter denies that he even knows who Jesus is. Three times he turns his back on his friend. Three times he throws Jesus under the bus. And I think it's easy for us to look at this story and say, well, Peter had no choice. He would have been killed if he had been admitting to who he was, that he was not just a disciple, but the rock upon whom Jesus' church would be built. It is easy for us to sit here and give Peter a pass. Because we want to pass. We want it to be okay when we deny Jesus by our words or our actions. We want it to be okay when we try to blend in with the crowd instead of standing out as a follower of Jesus. We want it to be okay to conform to the ways of this world instead of being transformed by the overwhelming love of God. We want to pass. So we excuse Peter. We want to be able to store up our treasures on earth instead of relinquishing our earthly goods to store up treasures in heaven. We want to be able to turn a blind eye to the suffering of our fellow human beings instead of being willing to lay down our lives for them, which Jesus says is the greatest form of love. We want to be served instead of serving others. We want to indulge ourselves instead of denying ourselves. We want, we want, we want. And we give very little thought, or just a passing thought, to what Jesus wants from us. You know, I think back to our scripture reading today. It is right after Jesus tells them that they will desert him. And Peter says he would die before he does that. That they go into the Garden of Gethsemane so Jesus can pray. He asks them one thing. Would you guys just keep watch while I go pray? Seems like a simple enough request. And yet, the disciples keep falling asleep. They cannot manage to do even this simple task of staying awake. And I think many of us Christians are going through our spiritual lives asleep. I think we have taken our eyes off of Jesus and we have just drifted off. We're not paying attention to what it is we are called to do. We are not focused on our Savior and following his lead. We have closed our eyes and drifted off to dreamland where we don't need to be sacrificial, where we don't need to be the last in order to be first, where we don't need to listen to anything other than our basest desires. Friends, it's time to wake up. It is time to be aware of the ways in which we deny our Lord and Savior every day. It is time to live up to our baptismal vows, our confirmation, and our membership vows, in which we vow to God and to one another that we will serve Jesus Christ as our Lord. And if we don't, then we're even worse than Peter, because we failed to learn the lesson that he had to learn. We fail to heed the warning of Scripture and fall into this pattern of denial and betrayal. We can do better. We must do better. And if we utilize the power of the Holy Spirit that we have been given, we can do better. Now, normally I try to bring a little word of hope and redemption at the end of my messages here. But Peter had to wait before he got his good news. And so I'm going to make you wait till next week to hear how the story ends. We have Peter's example to learn from. And we do have the Holy Spirit here to help us. But other than that, I think that we just need to sit with this story a little while. I will promise you that there is good news to come. But today we sit with the fact that we too deny Jesus all of the time. We are, like Peter, flawed disciples. Will we live into being faithful disciples as well? Time will tell. Amen.